Good morning. Patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. That statement is credited to Samuel Johnson, the 18th century English poet, essayist, moralist, and literary critic. Today I'm reading from an article that explains why, for present-day America, this is especially so. The article is entitled, "These Should Be the End Times for American Patriotism," by Sam Hasselby of Eon Magazine. Patriotism is the organizing passion of modern political life in the United States, yet its vitality defies obvious explanation. The country has no national education system. There's neither compulsory military nor civil service. No government agency distributes the ubiquitous U.S. flags, nor enforces observance of the rituals to country performed at schools and sporting and political events throughout the country. Despite lacking the classic machinery for inculcating patriotism and spreading it among the people, American patriotism is a norm in the true sense. One of the conceits of American patriotism, that is a wholesome version of the pernicious nationalism that other countries have helped to protect it from critical questioning of almost any type. Justifications for the country's patriotism tend to be shallow. They are often based on appeals to treasured details of family or community life. Patriotism is Little League baseball on a warm summer day, the courtesy of the small town merchant, a neighborhood rebuilding together after a destructive storm. All nationalism makes sentimental appeal to intimate but generic experience, and the effects can help to raise armies and start wars. They carry, in other words, formidable political force, but they're not any kind of serious moral or intellectual case for patriotism. American patriotism is in some ways very old. Some of its defining qualities have changed very little, including the distinctive cult of the Founding Fathers, which began while they were still living. The great weakness of this preoccupation with the Founders is that it is a convoluted, limiting device to which to think about the world today, much like the country's overestimation of its Constitution, yet it plays an outsized role in American political debate and thought. Most patriotism enlists territorial rivals in the required role of the enemy. France has Germany, India has China, Britain has France. But America's particular historical experience in the New World reshaped this need. American patriotism turned to the task of conjuring ideological enemies, drawing on an Anglo, especially Puritan, propensity for casting outsiders as fearsome maleficents. American patriotism has always depended on conjuring alleged conspiracies from migrants or outsiders bearing existential threats, foreign devils all. Throughout the 19th and into the 20th century, it was Catholicism. The Anglo establishment held Catholics to be unreasoning and beholden to a priestly power, unfit for the obligations of citizenship. That's why people who take the oath to become citizens must renounce allegiance to any foreign potentate, that is, the Pope. Then the Cold War made it communism. Like Catholicism, a nebulous and formidable global power, it also moving invisibly in the hearts and minds of immigrants to undermine the country from within. Now rival camps differ as to whether the existential threat is Sharia or Russia. Exceptionalism has always been core to American patriotism, and American exceptionalism is no longer tenable. Exceptionalism is the idea that the country bears some special lesson for the rest of the world, some vital role in the world history. But if the U.S. represents something invaluable to the rest of the world, what is that? In the 18th century, an experiment in Republican government filled the bill of exceptionalist pretensions. In the long 19th century, the availability of land for settlers combined with political democracy compared favorably with Europe's aristocratic regimes. And after the Second World War, the shared prosperity of post-war economic boom helped to revitalize U.S. exceptionalism. Now, there's no good answer. This core component of American patriotism, the popular conviction in a world historical role for the U.S., is unlikely to continue. First, it is increasingly difficult not to notice that in many basic matters of government and society, including health care, public education, gender equity, social mobility and prosperity, economic fairness, child care, environment, and more, the U.S. has fallen behind most of the developed world. The U.S.'s world historical ambitions have simply not kept pace with world history. Secondly, wars are nation-making events, but they can also be unmaking ones. If your patriotism is linked to the pretensions of a world historical role, what do you do when the world chooses not to emulate you, or when Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, etc., doesn't want your Americanization project? Mere military supremacy, especially when it proves ineffective in achieving its goals, is unlikely to be enough to sustain the exceptionalist heart of American patriotism. The sacred status of American patriotism in the U.S. indicates only an ideological strength, not moral or intellectual soundness. The right-wing nationalism resurgent in many places, including the U.S., has convinced many Americans that reasserting patriotism is necessary, or at least politically strategic. But questioning American patriotism is a greater opportunity and might also be more pragmatic course, since some of its historical foundations are unraveling. It's time to start treating American patriotism, the most deadly form of identity politics, as a question, not an answer. I've been reading from an article entitled "These Should Be the End Times for American Patriotism" by Sam Hasselby. Sam Hasselby is a senior editor at Eon Magazine and an historian. He's the author of "The Origins of American Religious Nationalism."
While digesting Reader's Digest in the back of the dirty bookstore, a plastic flag with gum on the back fell out on the floor. Well, I picked it up and I ran outside, slapped it on my window shield. And if I could see old Betsy Ross, I'd tell her how good I feel. But your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded.